The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Well, welcome back as we head into Hour 3. It's a delight to do it with Josh Hammer. There's nothing like the iron bonds of friendship forged in the heat of battle. Josh, he's got his finger on a lot of buttons. He is the senior editor-at-large at Newsweek. He is the host of his own radio show, The Josh Hammer Show podcast. You can follow him on Twitter, at Josh_Hammer, two M's, and he has just kicked off a great new project. I was telling you about it on air yesterday, folks. It's Jews Against Soros. Josh Hammer, welcome back to the airwaves of Phoenix.
Seth, it's always a pleasure, my friend, and I wholly agree with you about the bonds of friendship being forged through the battlefield.
Yeah, there's something like them. There's something about brothers in arms, and it's funny, you know, it's in this vast movement of ours, we always find friends and colleagues that we agree with on this thing, but not that thing. And I have to tell you, Josh, I follow you pretty scrupulously. I haven't found anything I disagree with you on. So that's how strong it is, at least from my perspective. So good work, sir. Good work. You and Will Scharf. Tell us about Will Scharf. Tell us about this new project on George Soros. You will do it better than I did. Jews Against Soros, the need for it, the purpose, and all that.
Well, Seth, you know, the sentiment, of course, is mutual. I find in you someone who gets it, for lack of a better term. I'm not sure that there's a better term or an easier way to say it. I'm sure if we poked around for enough, maybe we had drinks for 3 hours, we might be able to find some small issue.
Maybe the drink. Possibly. Anyway.
Yeah, Will Scharf and I have been friends for a few years now. Would strongly encourage you to go ahead and check out his own profile, his own work. So Will, very smart guy, Princeton, Harvard Law School, clerked for Judge Grunder on the Eighth Circuit. He spent a lot of time in D.C. He was kind of instrumental as an outside force helping the Supreme Court nominations of Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, ventures like that. And he moved back to Missouri, where he previously lived. He was a federal prosecutor and is now running to be Attorney General in Missouri. But right. Yeah, Will and I have been friends for a while because, right, you know, both Jewish, both right wing, both have a legal background. So really great guy. And he and I have been kicking around this Jews Against Soros idea kind of, it kind of started almost as a joke. It was literally kind of like a joking text back and forth. And then at some point we were like, why not? Let's turn it into something at least somewhat real with some teeth.
Well, I'm glad you did, because, we started noticing maybe 2-3 years ago this efforted campaign by the left that if you quote George Soros negatively, or if you attribute actions by political actors, whether they're in law enforcement or whether they're think tanks or whether they're elected officials elsewhere, and attribute it to them George Soros's funding, there was this resistance from the left, this odd resistance, claiming that to do so was an anti-Semitic dog whistle or just purely anti-Semitic because you're blaming the power on this Jewish man. And it was an interesting trick that I didn't think would have legs, to be honest with you, Josh, primarily because the only people who thought of George Soros as Jewish were not the accuser and were not George Soros. It was the left. They were the only ones who used that. And it was an interesting and cute, if not clever, way to try and silence criticism of him. And something needs to be said and done about that. We're not going to take it.
Yeah, look, I mean, there's a lot to be said here. So first of all, when you have the kind of money that George Soros has, and when you try to put that out there, and you just not try, when you put that out there successfully in the political activist arena, donating to funding all sorts of causes all around the world, from his native Hungary to Israel to the United States to many other countries, I mean, that is necessarily fair game. I mean, when you put yourself out there in the public domain, it is totally fair game.
Yeah.
And the disingenuous attempts to shut down any criticism of him under the fake veneer of anti-Semitism, you know, first of all, I mean, this is somewhat of a pedantic point, but I feel like it's worth saying nonetheless. The man's name is George Soros. I mean, it's not kind of, you know, Moshe Goldschmidt. I mean,
right.
It's not kind of an overly stereotypical Jewish
name. I didn't know he was Jewish until about 10 years ago.
Right, exactly. I mean, so that kind of says all you need to know. Second of all, and more pertinent to the point as to why this is so ridiculous, the charge of anti-Semitism for criticizing this man who funds so much in the way of destruction and civilizational arson, civilizational rot, is that George Soros himself, when it comes to issues pertaining to the Jewish people and to the Jewish state of Israel, is on the wrong side of all those issues. He's the single largest donor to J Street, which calls itself a pro-Israel operation, but in reality is anything but that. They routinely condemn Israel for its very routine defensive actions against Hamas jihadists, things like that. You know, George Soros-tied entities have also been tied, financially speaking, to the People's Front for the Liberation of Palestine, the PFLP, which is a UN-US-EU, you know, internationally recognized terrorist organization.
Marxist terrorist organization, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you do these things, you don't get to play the anti-Semitism card. In fact, recently, when Elon Musk himself got in some hot water for criticizing Soros, it was actually Amichai Shikli, who is the State of Israel's anti-Semitism diaspora foreign minister. He's literally the Netanyahu government's point man for these issues. He came out and defended Elon Musk and said, no, actually, it's good to criticize George Soros because he's harming us.
On top of that, on top of all the things he's funding, it's an interesting thing that I don't think George Soros himself has ever held himself out as Jewish, Josh, which makes an interesting point that when we criticize him, we're criticizing him on the merits. We're taking him seriously. When he speaks with his money or his mouth, he's speaking on the merits, wanting to be taken seriously. And it's the left who's making the accusations of anti-Semitism. They're the ones who see him as a Jew. Now, you tell me who's the bigot. They're the ones putting the yellow star on his breast.
Exactly right, right? And you know what? I agree with that wholeheartedly, Seth. There's an additional point to make here as well, which is that the left can have it both ways.
Right.
You know,
I mean,
before Sheldon Halpin passed towards the end of 2020 or early 2021, when it was right around there, before he passed, you know, how many on the left would routinely condemn Sheldon Adelson's role in Republican Party,
right,
conservative, Zionist, pro-Israel circles? You know, Paul Singer, to a lesser extent, gets it today. You know, any number of kind of prominent conservative Jewish donors are routinely in the crosshairs of the American left. And it's not like conservatives, not like Republicans, it's not like Fox News, the Wall Street Journal are up in arms saying, oh, you're anti-Semitic for criticizing the role that Sheldon Adelson or Paul Singer plays. No, because it doesn't matter what your religion, your ethnicity, your heritage, your nationality, whatever. If you were going to play the game at that level, if you are a billionaire who is politically active, you are shelling out these kinds of dollar sums, you have every right to be judged by his actions. And in Soros' particular case, Seth, let's not forget, he's been very explicit about his so-called progressive prosecution project. In fact, he had an op-ed for the Wall Street Journal just last summer defending it under his own byline. So that is fair game, period, full stop. I'm sorry.
I agree with you. The group, the website, if folks want to go to it, or go to it anytime they have an inclination to criticize George Soros and then get the charge of anti-Semitism leveled at them, it's Jews Against Soros, JewsAgainstSoros.com. It's a really, really well done website for something that just the two of you put together, Josh Hammer. And, you know, there is another element beyond Paul Singer and Sheldon Adelson. But I'm going to guess that there is more vitriol online, in social media, and in the regular media against the likes of you or Dennis Prager or me than there is against George Soros. And not one of us would ever hide behind that shield, and not one person would ever in the conservative movement say that you can't attack those guys because of their ethnicity or religious beliefs.
Right, of course. Yeah, I mean, all of this stuff, it's just totally and completely fair game. I mean, you know, with the fact that someone like Jake Tapper or David Axelrod happens to share my religion, would that preclude me from debating them?
Yeah, that's that is what they want. They want an a priori chill on any critique of the left, and if they happen to be Jewish, so much the better. And they'll warp themselves into weird places on this too. This is how you got Larry Elder as the black face of white supremacy in a way. Josh, I got to take a quick break. Can you stay another segment? I'd love to talk about some of your recent columns with you if you have some time.
Sounds great.
Great. Thank you. Josh Hammer is my guest. He is the senior editor at large at Newsweek and the host of the Josh Hammer Show. His new project, among many, but the one he unveiled yesterday, Jews Against Soros, JewsAgainstSoros.com. He and I will be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. Josh Hammer is my guest. He's a senior editor at large at Newsweek. He is the host of the Josh Hammer Show. You can follow him on Twitter at Josh_Hammer, H-A-M-M-E-R. Josh, you write about a lot of different things, but if it's okay, I wanted to ask you about a recent column of yours. I think it's actually maybe two back, and it has to do, it's titled Release the Manifesto. Boy, it's amazing how fast news stories go by and appear. You know, these objects in the rearview mirror really do seem farther than they are. This isn't that long ago, and it's a totally forgotten story. This, of course, is the awful story of the shooting at the Christian Elementary School in Nashville, Tennessee, and three children, three adults killed. There seemed to have been a weird, odd, greater amount of sympathy for the shooter than the victims, at least from the administration's point of view. What we did know was that there was a detailed manifesto. What the FBI told us was that they would be going through the manifesto and releasing it. And obviously, here we are. Either they're still going through with it, or like at the end of Indiana Jones, they're burying it with deep, deep top experts, never to see the light of day. What's going on here, Josh?
Well, look, I think what's going on is fairly straightforward. I mean, I think what's going on here is you had a deranged transgender shooter who was actually a former student at this Christian school who probably went down some very deep, dark paths, might have even been jacked up on the testosterone injections. I would like to see a toxicology report.
I always want the toxicology report. You betcha. I want the toxicology report, and I want to know the family structure for the first 18 years of their life. That's what
Absolutely.
I want to know.
But it seems to me like what happened, and you know, there are some details that have come to light that really, I think, vindicate this narrative that I'm about to explain. And one of those details is that during this horrific rampage, the shooter actually digressed from the school building. And Seth, you kind of have to not put yourself in that position, God forbid. You kind of have to imagine the situation. I mean, you are probably about to die. You are a school shooter. This is like your final act of would-be martyrdom. And you take the time to divert from the school to go to the church next door, as the shooter did here. And what did Audrey Hale, the shooter, decide to shoot up? Well, she decided to shoot up a stained glass representation of Adam, first man God creates in the Book of Genesis narrative. No less symbolic a figure, Audrey Hale put 7 rounds through the stained glass depiction of Adam. So why would someone do that? I mean, it seems to me so obvious what is going on here. You have someone who was once a Christian. She attended a school for at least a brief time as a child, who became a transgender person, went down some dark paths, and decides to go out in a fit of blazing glory by killing Christians and trying to vindicate her newfound pagan ideology. I mean, that is basically what it seems to me like what happened. I highly, highly suspect the manifesto, if it were to see the light of day, and I hope that it does, would vindicate that narrative. But for the LGBT lobby and for the transgender activists, those who are in the medical profession, who profit off of these horrific surgeries, you know, there's a real motivation here to deep fix that manifesto and make sure it never sees the light of day. And I suspect that is why we are currently still in litigation involving the Metropolitan Nashville Police Department as to whether this manifesto will actually ever see the light of day before a judge as you and I speak. There should be a decision this month sometime in early to mid-June or so. And again, I really hope that we get that manifesto released. It's really the least, the very least we can do for any semblance of justice out of this utterly horrific episode.
Utterly horrific. And, you know, the ripples from it seem to be an odd protected. It's a weird thing that's happened to crime in the past, what, 5, 6, 7 years, Josh? I don't remember it being much older than that. This odd thing about the media and the federal agency's view of crime, what gets highlighted, what gets remembered, what gets memory hold, what gets forgotten, really depends on some ancillary thing, is really more increasingly becoming dependent on ancillary things like race of victim, race of assailant, and now obviously gender of victim and gender of assailant. It really does raise interesting questions about how we politicalize violence in this country and how seriously we do or don't take it. And it seems one side is heavily politicalized in it, and one side wants to take it much more seriously. Theirs on theirs and ours on ours. And it's so unfortunate. But it's another example of just everything becoming sifted through so many filters of politics that just didn't used to be.
Yeah, you're totally right. I mean, look, to take it back to what we were talking about on our last segment, the left can have it both ways. They're hypocritical when it comes to Adelson and Staker versus Soros, but they're hypocritical here as well.
Yep.
I mean, you know, when the mass shooting fits the leftist intersectional narrative, so the horrific shooting in Charleston, South Carolina, with the white supremacist still on the roof in 2015, or a similar white supremacist shooting in the supermarket of Buffalo, New York, about a year ago, May, I think it was, of 2022. You know, when it fits their narrative, they are always quick to jump to these massive national, international, sweeping conclusions about the threat of white supremacy and so forth. But when it appears that the motivation might impugn their agenda or perhaps in the long run actually undermine its advancement, you know, they want to deep fix the whole thing. So, I mean, once again, you can't have it both ways. I mean, like you said, I personally find it kind of loathsome to play this game. I mean, we're talking about innocent human beings. We're talking innocent children.
Yeah,
for
children
God's
here.
Sake.
Exactly.
I mean, as bad as it gets, right? This is just horrible stuff. I mean, I really do lament the fact that we're talking about
this. I know.
But, again, the left cannot have it both ways. And I brought up the toxicology report because if there is any reason to believe that the shooter was possibly acting because of the testosterone injections, I mean, you know, a lot of these gender transition surgeries,
yep,
so to speak,
sure,
a.k.a. mutilations, are already kind of under the microscope,
yep,
in so many states.
Yep.
You know, that's very relevant information from a lawmaker public policy perspective as well.
Yeah, and that's the stuff that can never see the light of day. A, if it counters the narrative that white supremacy is the most dangerous threat to Americans. B, if someone isn't a white person, we will make them a white person if they're black or Hispanic, if they act in any way that seems to be somewhat right of Joe Lieberman. And then C, if there's anything to discover there that runs against the leftist narrative, that is to say these transgenderizing drugs or perhaps other illegal drugs, which you find all too commonly in these school and youth shootings as well, they're just going to deep six it. And it it augurs bad for public policy because we're shadow boxing in the dark effectively.
Right. Yeah, no, exactly right. But look, the transgender phenomenon is a hot topic right now.
Yeah.
And we are having a debate in the state, and to the extent that this horrible tragedy can shine some light on the downsides of these testosterone injections, we need that information to come to light.
Absolutely. Josh Hammer, you're a prince, and I appreciate everything you do, including lending some of your time to us here in Phoenix. Josh Hammer, Newsweek senior editor at large and host of The Josh Hammer Show. Godspeed, brother.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.